I know last week, for those who weren't here last week, I talked on a topic that was really different. I was talking about hell. It was a hot topic. So I was talking about the reality of hell and how often the church doesn't speak about the reality of hell. We just kind of don't want to talk about that. Because most likely in the church, we always want to say, well, Jesus is nothing but love and gracious and merciful. But sometimes we don't talk about that he's coming back. He's coming back on a white horse to judge the world. Right? He's coming back. But before he judges the world, he takes the church out. Church is not here during the time of judgment. The 7 years of tribulation, the church is not here. But when he comes back, those who do not know Christ will go through 7 years of turmoil. And I shared that even last week, I said, how many people go to church every Sunday who might not go to heaven when Christ comes back to catch us up? But sometimes we, out of religiousness, we come to church. We go through the motions. But we truly haven't given our hearts to the Lord. Right? Do we recognize that Jesus, he is real? We serve a risen Lord, a one who died for our sins, because we're all born sinners. You're not a Christian when you come out. Even though you're born maybe in a Christian home, you're not a Christian until you repent and confess and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repentance, recognizing that you do need a Savior. And I think, and I share like that, sometimes there's no prayer in the Bible that says, prayer of salvation. If somebody says, I said this prayer. There's no prayer in the Bible that says this is how you become a believer. But he says you need to confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Trust in the Lord. Depend on the Lord. Repent. And that's how you become a believer. It's like then you become a child of God. To follow him. And to be obedient to him, to love him and adore him because of who he is. So, as I said last week, I enjoy talking about certain topics. It's a challenging topic. So, you know, the Lord wants us to, he wants us to be informed. He informs us by his word. He shares of who he is and his character to us when we open up his word. He wants us to know. We're not supposed to go by our own feelings or our opinions. How many of us like to go by our opinions and our feelings? Too often, right? We are emotional people. But what does the Word of God say? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not by feelings, but it's by his word that we go by. What is his word saying to us today? How is his word ministering to each one of us today? I know during worship we were being ministered to by the King of Glory. His Holy Spirit was ministering to every single one of us. And what are we going to do in response to that? It's a personal choice. How am I going to respond to him calling me closer to him? Am I going to run to him? You know, we know that we don't naturally want to hear all that what God wants to say to us. We don't naturally want to know what God wants to say to us at all times. We get scared. We're like, I don't want to hear from God. Because I'm afraid what he's going to say. Maybe because we're afraid, because we know we're living more in the world and more in the sin life, because we thought, well, he's a safety pin. I can repent at any time and get right with him. But he's called us to live a holy and righteous, holy life. It's an ongoing process. We're supposed to, as we read in Romans 12:1, to not to be of this world. We live in this world, but not to be of this world. We're supposed to live differently, not like the rest of this world. It's this teaching that we're not comfortable with. Perhaps we're believing some other doctrine. There's a lot of different churches not preaching the truth of the gospel. That's sad to say. Being a believer in Christ is difficult at times. And that's why we come together as believers, to encourage and pray for one another, help one another. You know, the consequences of ignoring doctrine, we can't ignore doctrine. We cannot just pick and choose what I want to believe in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all God inspired. It's His Word. It's inspired. And it's for us. It's for correction, rebuking, leading, guiding us, transforming our hearts. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all how to live a life that honors Christ. So whether you like it or not, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you are a representative for all that what it stands in the Word of God. When I say I'm a follower of Christ, I don't like using Christian, because every Mormon say they're Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses say they're Christians. Catholics say they're Christians. You're a follower of Christ when you receive Him as your Lord and personal Savior. You put your full faith and trust in Him. I'm a follower. I'm a disciple of Christ because I want to be more like my Savior every single day. And those other ones follow a false god. So the Holy Spirit wants to awaken us, but we have to have a teachable heart. Let's ask God to help us to see clearly what the big eternal realities. So our actions affect those around us, either positively or negatively. How many of us know that? What you do will affect somebody around you. How many of us repent to our kids when we just blow it at times? Because our kids get to see the best of us. You know, the society that we live in is shaping our view of morality, if you want to believe that or not. World that we live in through TV advertisements, TV shows, what's happening in the world is trying to shape how we think, if we want to admit that or not, how we dress. Yeah, the huge one is I was at a church yesterday and young girls wearing short shorts. They're supposed to be modest. Women are supposed to be modest. We're not supposed to be wearing things that are too revealing. It's in the Word of God. And it just, as that, we need to be aware of how we act, and how we speak, and what we do. Will does it affect? So, the world is trying to influence the church, how the church should be behaving, how the church should be, what it should be doing, how it should be, what's church be doing in the world. You know, the culture around us no longer just demands our tolerance. They demand us to celebrate self-destruction. And that's why a lot of churches won't speak on sexual sins, adultery, homosexuality, paganism, abortions. They don't want to speak on those things. Because they're too afraid to speak the truth. And out of fear of losing people to pay bills. So, you know, when we think about it, and is, you know, it's sometimes they say you're unloving, that if you disagree with somebody else's decision for being self-destructive. So if I see a brother or sister in Christ who's living a life that is self-destructive and I don't say anything, I think, well, you're helping them. But that's unloving. When I see a brother or sister in Christ, they're living a destructive lifestyle. We ought to step in and we ought to help them. If we don't, that means we don't love them really. If I see somebody who's in destructive patterns of life, you know, if somebody has a drug addiction that has destroyed them, should we say something? If somebody has wrong beliefs in a false God and that is destroying them, should we say something? Do we see people who walk away from the church? Do we reach out to them? You know, we can look the other way, and we could even celebrate their decision. But then it's also then saying that I don't love them if I celebrate their sins. We need to speak in love. In correction, to help them, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives to soften. I know Zane, this morning, it's like, his heart, he's like, Dad, I pray that this church will have an encounter with the Lord. To be affected by the Holy Spirit. But are we willing to be changed by the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to let go of the things that we hold dearly to? What things are we holding on dearly to today? More than Christ. Because we say, Lord, I give you all these things. Lord, in your hands, I give them to you. My children, I love. Man, I would do pretty much anything for them. But I really wouldn't. The Lord's like, do you trust me with them? And I see how the Lord's moving in my kids' lives. It's not because of what I've been doing. It's because of what he's doing. And my obedience to pray for them and encourage them. My wife praying with them and encouraging them. That of obedience, that allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our kids. We cannot be fearful of what the Holy Spirit's going to do, or what God's going to do, or how he's going to move. We cannot be fearful of that. Then if we're fearful of that, we're putting God in a box. Then we're not going to step out. You look at evangelizing to people in this world, the boys this week, praying for people that did not know, going up to them. Praying for them, having a heart for them. Do I have a heart for the lost? You know, what's Romans 3:23? Who has that one? Who did I give that one to? Eric? Who did they give Romans 3:23? Who is it? Caitlin. Did I give you Romans? Yes, I did. Yes, 3:23.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. So we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is exempt. We all need Christ to be our Savior, Lord, Redeemer. We need to have faith in Christ alone. I shared this last week. Why is it difficult to follow Jesus? Why is it difficult to follow Jesus? The difficulty becomes because you want to follow your own life and your own path and ask God to bless it. You want Jesus to be an appendage on your own self-centered life, not to eradicate of yourself, not to eradicate your self-centered life. We have this thing, this is my life. It's not my life, unfortunately. It's bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. It's his life to use freely as he wants. That's a sobering thing. And I think as we read the scriptures, we're like, I don't want to read that because I want my own life. I want to do my own things. I have my agenda today, and Lord, I'm only going to book you in for the next hour and a half. But do you really want, do I want the Holy Spirit to eradicate my self-centered life? Do I? Do I want to surrender all to him? What's Matthew 16:24-25? Go ahead and use the mic there, please.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it."
Amen. I know we have a fear of the Lord. Do I have a reverence for the Lord? Do I reverence for him? Do I have a reverence for God? Matthew 10:28 says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. You know, the thought of hell, to recognize that Jesus saved us from hell. Because we read in Romans that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that we all need a Savior. And our destination was supposed to be hell. So when we worship him, do we worship because he saved us from a destination of total damnation, total separation, place of total burning and screaming and the worst chaos you could ever think of? That should be there. We should be praising him for what he's done in our lives, how he saved us. So do I have a holy reverence for him? Right? Fear of the Lord can be used to describe the awe and reverence for God. Psalm 33:8. It may be used to refer to wholehearted trust in God and devotion to him. Do I wholeheartedly trust God, and am I devoted to him? That's the mark of a follower of Christ. Am I devoted to Christ? Sometimes I ask myself, am I truly devoted to Christ? And I repent. Lord, forgive me for not being totally devoted to you. However, the fear of the Lord is also used in a sense of we fear God's displeasure and discipline. He's a holy, righteous God. And to have holy, I think that's what's lacking in the church as a whole. Not in this church, but as a whole, as followers of Christ, we lack holy reverence for God Almighty. We usher in, we just do our thing, but do we know we're serving a holy, righteous God that spoke everything into existence? He knows the days of our life. He knows he formed you. He knows you intimately. That's it. Man, do I have reverence for God? Today we devote virtual all our thoughts, a period of reflection, meditations, and preaching the kindness of God. That's what most of the time the churches will preach about. So I hope that our heart would be for the lost. We must take care to articulate not only what we are inviting them to Christ, but what we're inviting them away from. We're inviting them to get saved, so they're not going to go to hell, but they come into the kingdom of God and to spend all eternity with Jesus Christ. Do we know what we're inviting the lost to? And from what? So the Bible clearly and explicitly teaches that hell is a real place to which the wicked and unbelieving are sent after death, if you don't know Christ. There's 54 scriptures in the Bible that talk about hell. So hell is a place of torment and punishment that lasts forever and ever, and there's no end. So what's Revelation 20, verse 10? Let me see. Speak to that mic. We want to hear your beautiful voice. Okay. Revelation 20:10.
And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire. And
the fiery lake of brimstone.
Yeah. So, and where the beast and the false prophets were. And they were...
That's okay, buddy. That's all I need to do. That's good. So you think about Satan, how he leads in astray people. He leads people astray. And what's the church supposed to do? Show people the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4, talk about how Satan's blinded the unbelievers. So as believers, we need to be praying against how Satan has blinded the unbeliever so that their eyes of their hearts be opened up to the truth of the gospel. Satan wants to lead people astray, seducing them by what he's trying to do in this world. He's seducing people to follow him rather than following Christ. And too often the church is bought in and are following the Satan because he's seduced them to say, this is your best life now, which is contrary to the gospel. What's Zane? Can you read Luke 16, 19 to 31? It's a nice long one. Well, that's good. Take your time reading it.
There is a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted every day. At his gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades.
Hades.
Being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and sent Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water to cool off my tongue. For I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced of someone should raise from the dead.
You know, this is a picture of hell. You know, somebody goes to hell, there's no way back. You're there forever. And for us, it's a picture of separation from God, a place of destruction, a place of sorrow. You think about there's no comforts there, no delights there. No satisfying, like his mouth is sore. Like how do you even picture it? This is where people who do not know Christ will go to. It doesn't matter how good they are here, because that's another lie of Satan. He says, "Well, I'm a good person. I didn't do this. I didn't go murder somebody." But Jesus said, if you have hatred towards somebody, you have murdered them in your heart. That's tough words from the Lord. He says, if I have hatred towards somebody, I have committed murder. Maybe in Matthew. I don't know off the top of my head. Matthew 24-ish, somewhere around that area, I think. I could find it. Even Jesus says, if I look at a woman lustfully, I've committed adultery. Right? You look at before, you had to actually do that. But now it's like, it's the heart condition that he's nailing down. It's the heart condition. So no matter how good somebody thinks they are, no matter all the good things that we do, if they're not for the name of the Lord Jesus, if we're not surrendered to Jesus and doing it for his glory, for his purpose, they mean nothing. We need Christ. This world needs Christ. People of Black Falls need Christ. Our government needs Christ. Our family members need Christ who do not know him. And we need to be praying for them, saying, Lord, I pray, I intercede that you would lift this blindness off their hearts so they see the truth of the gospel. How much time do I even spend on my knees praying for the blind? I have an aunt that's very dear to me that walks a life that's, she's a lesbian. And she's one of my favorite aunts. I pray for her. I don't want to see my aunt go to hell. It talks about that. If you continue in these things, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Adultery, homosexuality, lying, cheating. If you continue in these things, you will not enter the kingdom of God. He's speaking how serious this is. This matter is serious. And so, as we speak about the fear of God, do I have this fear of God to say, Lord, I am done with this living on both sides of the street. I want to be totally sold out for you. But to have a love and a passion for those who are perishing, to speak in love and kindness to them, say, you know what? If you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how all the good things you've done, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And that's a very loving thing to say, because if I don't, it's not a very loving thing. It's a loving thing when somebody comes up beside you and say, you know what, maybe you're not living a life that honors Christ today. I notice these things, what you do. These habits that you, because he can set you free from bad habits. He can set you free from chains, like of your past, right? Family destructive patterns. Jesus can set you free today. You don't have to live in those destructive patterns any longer. He can set you free from addictions, from pornography, from lying and cheating. He can set you free today. Do we believe that? Do I believe that in my heart? Man, I remember I shared this. I did so many drugs in my life, waking up doing drugs. And the day I received Christ, those went away. And I remember where I had my last joint, and it didn't affect me. And that was the last time ever. I know how Christ can change immediately your life when you surrender to it, to Him. He could deliver you from whatever thing is holding you back to really receive Him, to walk after Him and walk for Him, to lay down everything else, because nothing else in this world matters. Not the riches, not your house, not your car, right? None of that matters. It's how you impact people in your life. We've got children. How do I share the truth of the gospel to my children? How do I live to my family members? Do I live a double life? You think about this. I pray that we don't have this thing that we have time. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. We do not know when the Lord's coming back. He can come back today, tomorrow, we don't know. We're supposed to be like the 10 virgins. We're supposed to be the virgins to have our lamps full, serving Him and loving Him. Living like this is maybe our last day. But we don't know we have another 10 years left, 5 years left. I don't know. But He's coming back. The Word of God says He's coming back. Do I live like this might be my last day on this world? You know, next week we'll witness, you know, Selena and Eric and maybe Caitlin. You know, folks that have surrendered their lives to Christ. And as followers of Christ, we come alongside them and encourage them to live a life that honors the Lord. It's a community thing. To help one another in the faith. Because there is times when we are maybe feeling low or discouraged and we want to give up. Hebrews 12:1, He's put us a shroud of witnesses around us to encourage us to run the race. Right? To say that I have nobody is like, that's a lie from Satan. When the body of Christ is supposed to come together and pray and for encourage one another in the faith to be lifted up and say, you know what? Let's pray. Because I know who could heal. I know who could actually set you free from this. You're not in this alone. We're not in this fight alone. He wants to help you. So all we need is Christ to be our Savior. He's need to be our Lord, our Redeemer, to have faith alone in Christ. And faith alone is preceded and followed by repentance, turning away from sins, a hatred for sin. Do I hate sin more today than I did yesterday? Do I hate sin more? Do I desire to live a life that honors the Lord? Do I love the things that God loves? Those are the two questions. Do I hate sin more today than I did yesterday? Do I love God more today than I did before? I hope that we are hating sin more and more, and the things we see is so disgusting. Right, I know in Psalm 37, I think it is. Let me Psalm 37 says, "Fret not for yourselves, because the evildoers, neither the envious." So do not be envious of the evildoers. Do not be envious of the people of this world. Do not be envious of them. Against those who walk unrighteously, for they shall soon be cut off and thrown like grass and wither as green herb. And it says in verse 3, it says, trust, to lean on, and be confident in the Lord, and do so, you shall dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourselves also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the secret petitions of your heart. What is your secret desire? See family members saved. It's not wealth. I want my family members to be saved. I want to see my sister and brother-in-law be in the kingdom of God. My nephews and nieces be in the kingdom of God. Aunts and uncles who do not know the Lord. That is what my heart desires, is not wealth. Physical wealth. So commit your ways to the Lord. Trust him. Also in him who will bring it to pass. And he will make your uprightness and right standing with God to go forth as the light. You're supposed to be seeing the things in this world. You have the hope of Christ. You have Christ living in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And as we walk in this darkness, allowing the light of Christ to shine through you, and that you're reflecting the life of Christ. So we should be thankful. Lord, thank you that I live in this day, that I can actually proclaim the truth of the gospel. There's people hungry, desiring to know the truth of the gospel, because they're tired of living a life that does not satisfy. And Christ is the only one that can satisfy. He's the only one that can satisfy you. And to allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life so that you put off your old nature and to grow in the new nature. He says, put off the old and put on the new. The times that we live in is not a time of just... It's a special time. Nowhere in history, let me get the girl. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not us that brings people to Christianity. It's actually praying for the lost. It's the Holy Spirit that draws people to them. To him, I think, do we pray for the lost? Do we desire? Do I want to walk in obedience to what the Lord's calling me? Because we all have different callings. We all have different callings, all different giftings. We're not the same. Some of us evangelize differently than others. But are we wanting to be obedient to where God has placed us? Right? We're in a place of influence. We're in a place where we could actually allow the light of Christ shine in that place. Shouldn't be discouraged at what's happening. It's like, my goodness, thank you, Lord, that I am able to share the goodness of the Lord. He's given you opportunities to share the goodness of the Lord. Not to be discouraged. What's happening is he says these things must happen before the day he returns. He said that. He said, these things will have to happen. You need to be in good cheer. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ, not on the situation. So we can pray for Nassif. And as we want prayer, we will pray with you. My heart is that we take the word of God and have a fear of God and reverence of him. To know that his word from Genesis to Revelation is so relevant today. And the sobering thought of who we represent. You're his ambassador. You're his child. And a child wants to honor their father. A child doesn't want to dishonor his dad. You want to honor your dad. So, Father, we thank you that your word opens our eyes. It heals us, strengthens us, it corrects us, gets us in right alignment with you. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue. I pray that we would have a heart for the lost. Lord, that we would not desire what I need. But, Lord, our first one would be, like, I want and desire my family, my nephews be saved, or my grandkids be saved, or my wife or my husband be saved, or whoever it is, Lord. I just pray that we would have this lost heart for the lost and be willing to invest time with them, to share with them, to show us how to speak to them, Lord, that we would come alongside them, and that, Lord, to really trust you to put words in our mouths, and Lord, even give us how to pray for them. Lord, help us to know how to pray for them. And Lord, thank you that you're going to be speaking to them prior to us speaking to them, that you're going to be softening their hearts before we even open our mouths. So Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to be, you do the work. And I pray, Lord, that we be obedient to the leading of your Holy Spirit, to go where you have asked us to go, to say what we need to say, and give you, you're the one who's going to follow it through. But Lord, help us to be obedient and trust you and rely on you. In Jesus' name.